One thing I do see constantly is when people are doing the things that God has designed them to do, angels are constantly partnering with them doing that thing.
Let me ask you about this. You know, we read the Bible and we see several different instances where angels came with messages. There's like different types of angels and different classifications, I guess. Mm-hmm. Could you kind of unpack some of that as you're reading scripture?
Yeah. You know, I've run into a lot of books that try to create that kind of almost like taxonomy of angels categorization. And there's some of it that's evident in scripture. And I don't begrudge anyone doing that and diving into that. I have personally found that it can edge on trying to say more than the Bible's saying about this. And it's funny because when I do talk about this biblically with people, I've noticed that one of the things that at least I don't hear reflected back to myself very often is some of the kind of broader picture narrative of God revealing this aspect of his kingdom to people. And it's kind of fascinating if you go through really all of the books of the prophets, especially different the book of Revelation, different, you know, kind of revelation moments all throughout the New Testament. The word that's most often used, at least in the Greek, is actually apocalypse. Now, in modern language, apocalypse means like destruction or the end of the world or something like that. But the actual translation of that word is like an unveiling, a revealing or a revelation. And it's almost this idea of people having these moments. And there's, again, an equivalent word in Hebrew that I'm not going to try to pronounce because I'm terrible at pronouncing Hebrew. But it's this idea of almost God peeling back the veil and saying, here's what my kingdom looks like. Here's what the way the inner workings of how I'm operating. And then that's where you get these moments like Isaiah seeing this vision of the train of the Lord's robe filling the temple and just continuing going. That's this picture of God's authority and power operating on the earth, that there's this again, these pictures in Ezekiel, Hosea of God's throne being on this massive chariot, being pulled by these creatures, and it being kind of strange. There's these pictures of, you know, wheels within wheels, and I, you know, it's funny, some of the things that I've seen, I kind of categorize broadly this way of, you know, some things are more designed to reveal the majesty, the mystery, the holiness, the bigness of God, and other things they're designed to reveal the intimacy, the relatability, the accessibility of God. To me, that's those extremes of, you know, again, seeing God's throne on a chariot covered in fire, you know, just these big, dynamic, overwhelming sort of images versus God showing up with a still small voice or an angel that looks, at least as I read the description in scripture, more or less like a person that shows up and just relays a clear message. And I can share kind of two quick stories, at least from my own life, that kind of draw that picture. So I remember I used to always see this one angel at our church. This was right after I learned that what I was experiencing was the result of a gift, and I was trying to, you know, understand it to the best of my ability. And some stuff made intuitive sense. You know, I would see angels that would dance during worship. They'd be carrying banners. They'd be almost moving with a coordinated choreography, almost like they knew what the music would be ahead of time, and were just kind of partnering with the worship that was happening there. And you know, again, that makes kind of intuitive sense. They're partnering with us as we're worshiping God. They're you know, partnering with that worship. I would see sometimes, maybe if we're praying for people, angels come by and lay their hands on people or remove things off of people. I remember one time our pastor was preaching about getting freedom in our lives. And I, again, as simple as it is, I saw angels with bolt cutters going around and cutting chains off of people. You know, again, it's very, very intuitive, you know, makes sense and you know, seems pretty clear. And then another time I saw our pastor was praying for an impartation of the just the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as he did, we had people lining up in the front, and I just saw this orangish, reddish, yellowish smear of light that was kind of solid and liquid and somewhat gaseous. And it came in, it swooshed through the people this way, swooshed through the people that way, and then went out the window. I had no idea what that meant. That looked strange. It looked very hard to interpret and to understand. And so some stuff I would see made intuitive sense. Like when I look at it, I can understand it. And some stuff, it would be kind of out there, you know. I remember I started to understand the difference between these two things with a couple of experiences. There was this one angel I'd always see that stood at the front door of our church. It's kind of the entry to the foyer in the sanctuary. And, he looked like he was wearing this armor that was just immaculately taken care of in pristine condition. He had a spear in his hand. He was standing straight, you know, looking into the middle distance. Looked like he was in his mid-50s. I don't know if angels can be in their mid-50s, but that's how he looked. Everything about him looks like a guard, you know, or a sentry or something of that nature, you know, so that's pretty intuitive. But as I was looking at that, I was like, okay, well, does that mean that he is going to like fight a demon if it tries to come in through this door? Does that mean if that angel can overpower that demon, that God's plans or the enemy's plans come to fruition? And if that's the case, what, you know, again, I don't want to be rude, but what extra benefit does an angel staying there have versus the presence of the Holy Spirit being in our lives, the presence of God in the room as we worship him, being covered in the blood of Jesus? You know, what extra protection would that provide? And as I was running all these things through my mind, I saw this short vision in the back of my mind. It was just like a short film that played on the screen of my imagination. And in it, I saw these two kingdoms, and I saw the king of one kingdom send an ambassador to the foreign kingdom. And when he did, he sent this small honor guard, just a handful of soldiers, to go with this ambassador. And as this ambassador approached the foreign kingdom, I saw there was hundreds of soldiers on the walls of this kingdom. And when they entered the kingdom, there was even hundreds more inside. And at first I thought to myself, well, gosh, if those soldiers decided to attack, there's nothing that that honor guard would be able to do to protect. What's the point? But in that same moment, I realized, oh, it's not just about the practical protection that honor guard provides, even though that might be part of the reason. It's also just as much, if not more, about the statement that's being made. That this is a statement that king is making. My power is going with this person. This is representative of greater power that rests within my kingdom. And in that moment, it's funny, the angel looked exactly the same, but every detail of his appearance just suddenly took on deeper meaning. That this idea that it wasn't just about the literal protection that would be provided, that angel fighting a demon if it came through, but that again, that he was standing so straight, that he was so focused and intent on his task, that I would see him week after week, unmoving, unflinching, you know, standing there, even that he looked like he was in his mid-50s, spoke of age, of excellence, of maturity, of all these things. And so again, I realized, oh, it's one layer of a revelation of God's protection that he would you know, anoint us with his son's blood, that we would be covered in that way, that we'd be adopted into his family. It's another layer of his protection, that his presence would go with us. But it's another layer, a different flavor of the communication of his protection, that he would send a servant to stand at the door, and it would communicate something different about the value he had on what we were doing in that wow. space. And so again, that stuff made intuitive sense, but it had this deeper meaning that pointed to something.
Yeah.
And one other yeah. just kind of brief story to wrap up some of that more abstract stuff is I remember one time, because I would often see things that were abstract and strange and didn't make intuitive sense, and I didn't really, you know what to do with it. We were doing an all-night worship night, and we walked in, and I saw this, there was just a couple of people playing acoustic music, and it was, you know, late in the night, and I saw just this kind of, again, just this greenish, whitish, bluish sort of smear of light that was in the center of the stage. And it was just kind of oscillating back and forth, not in really any, to me, particular pattern. And I was frustrated at that point, because I would see these abstract things. I'm like, am I supposed to share this? Am I not supposed to share it? What does it mean if I do share it? How is this helpful? How is this edifying? What does this mean? And you know, why am I seeing this if I don't know what to do with it? And so with a somewhat bad attitude, I sat down and was frustrated. And as I looked around the room, I saw this woman that was in the front row. She was probably in her late 80s, and she was kind of hunched over and leaning down. And I had this thought go through my mind. You know, at that time, I and kind of the environment I was in had this really high value for really extravagant worship. And that when we worship God, there was a real value for not being ashamed of being, you know, displaying your love for the Lord, whether that's moving around or just being kind of more outgoing. But I realized that good value had kind of put a bit of a negative mindset in me, where I felt this internal judgment towards this woman pop up in my mind of, I guess she's not that engaged in worship right now. And as soon as I had this thought, I felt this sense of conviction. And then immediately I looked in the spirit and I could see straight through her. I could see her skeleton. I could see her internal organs. And then my eyes kind of settled on her heart. And when I saw her heart, I saw this greenish, bluish, whitish little smear of light that was pumping through the four chambers of her heart back and forth in this pattern, an exact replica in miniature of the one that I saw on the stage. And as I looked around the room, I saw that exact same light in every heart inside the room. And I immediately heard the Holy Spirit say, I'm syncing their heartbeats to mine. And so it's interesting, because I suddenly got a little bit more meaning out of this thing that was abstract. I got a little bit of a correction about an attitude that I had. But at the same time, I'm syncing their heartbeats to mine. What does that mean? What does that literally mean? And the more I've thought about it over the years, I realize, again, there's things that are more tangible and practical about God, that are relatable about him. And there are things that he does that are mysterious, that are hard to define, that are hard to express clearly, and are in fact mysterious often. I think sometimes we see things in the spirit that are more reflective of the mystery of who he is, and then other things that are more related to the tangibility of who he is. That was a very long answer to it.
That's great, though. And any answer that I can get a story out of, I'm happy with. You know, there's a couple things that I want to make sure that we touch on here, and that's guardian angels, the ability to command angels, and interacting with angels as well. You know, you mentioned that you were a kid whenever you realized that this was a gift. You kind of came to that matrix and understanding. But have you interacted with them? I could just imagine seeing, you know, 8-9-year-old Blake just saying, "Hey, Mr. Angel, how's it going today?" You know, like, how have you interacted with them? If so, what was that like?
Yeah, so it's interesting. When I was younger, I, for the most part, didn't feel this compulsion to naturally interact with angels. The best way I can explain it is, you know, if I was at school or at church or something like that, I would naturally interact with my parents. And I generally wouldn't interact with someone else's parents unless they engaged me, for the most part. And that's really just because of an intuitive sense of belonging, of order, if you will, you know. And I could really, looking back, I can really see how I could feel that very organic sense of order with regard to the angelic things that I saw, especially that there is a, you know, if there's a lot of, you know, characteristics that just about every angel I've seen has carried. But if there's two that really stand out, it's the intentness with which they do and value whatever task they've been assigned. And also their very, very strong sense of respect for the relationships and roles that they have. And so a quick example as you kind of we're talking about of, you know, every person I've ever met has what I call a personal angel, an angel. Some people call them guardian angels, mm-hmm. just an angel that is with them, you know, all throughout their life. And one question I'll commonly get asked is, you know, if people get married, do their angels like interact? Do they work together? And well, I've seen examples of that. For the most part, I see that angel still be focused mainly on that person, that they're one person, and remain just really, really focused on just partnering with the purposes of God and that individual's life. And again, not that would be wrong or different for it not to be, but it's just that kind of focus of relationship. And so I actually didn't ever hear an angel speak until I was in my 20s.
Really?
Yeah, I would see them all the time, but I never heard anything auditory whatsoever until I was in my 20s. Hmm. And you know, it's interesting. I've met a lot of other people who see in the spirit who have had kind of slightly different experiences, and I think even some of it might be due to my personality. My personality is a little bit more of a observational one. I like to look and see what's going on, try to understand things, and kind of even occasionally be maybe a little bit more disconnected and observational, as I said. And so it could be some of that. I noticed for me personally that as I've grown in authority and responsibility in different ministry roles throughout my life, I have noticed that there's been that the interaction with angels has increased in those regards. That if there's a specific message for a ministry that I'm serving, a church that I'm ministering at, direction for the church where I serve now, things like that. That's where I'll run into that kind of conversation a little bit more. And you know, it's interesting, this conversation of commanding angels does come up quite frequently, and I've heard if not passionate, at least strong arguments for either perspective of you should absolutely not command angels, you absolutely should be commanding angels. And my experience would communicate something a little bit in the middle. My kind of rule of thumb is one of the most beautiful facets of the gospel is that Jesus is our only intermediary between us and the Father. Mm. And of course he is the Father in essence. And so one of the thing that again is so beautiful about the gospel is that we have actually been invited into a relationship with God and without intermediary. And I think I have seen angels very much respect that reality, that they don't exist as an intermediary. They exist as a servant of the kingdom of God who is partnering with his purposes and his purposes in our lives as well. Mm-hmm. And so I do hesitate to do anything that would put an angel between me and the Lord or feel like I have to, do this, but rather than that. However, one thing I do see constantly is when people are doing the things that God has designed them to do, angels are constantly partnering with them doing that thing. Now, that can be traditional ministry things that we think of like leading worship or preaching or praying for folks or things of that nature. But it's also in all the other, we don't always think of them this way, but the godly things that we're called to in our life, like working. And operating in our families, interacting with others in the world, in our shopping experiences, in commerce, in our day-to-day lives. And again, many of us are called to be in the world, bringing God's kingdom to what we think of as non-ministry areas, even though that the whole world belongs to God doing anything good in the world is an expression of God's kingdom. And so so I see angels constantly partnering with that. And so it's an interesting interaction to me, it's almost a moot question in some ways of am I supposed to be commanding angels? I almost think in some ways that's the wrong question if I'm partnering with the purposes of God in my life, he is undoubtedly prepared and sent angels to partner with those purposes in my life. And Amen. So rather than being too concerned about, should I tell an angel to do that? I think it's more an aspect of, should I be doing that? Should I be stepping out in authority in this particular area? And so, there's a lot of nuanced cases in that, but I think that overall perspective and attitude, that's the one I've found to be the most helpful.